Ladies and gentlemen, comedian, actor, writer, composer, singer, and a man who's had leg issues for over a half a century, Robert Klein. Robert, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you all?
We're doing great. We are so happy you're with us today. We were talking before you came on. Bill's done stand-up comic for many years, and at the age of 9, Robert Klein inspired you?
I saw you on The Tonight Show, Robert, and you were doing a bit about, you did a whole episode of The Little Rascals.
Oh, yes. Right. Hal Roach owned 4 pieces of music, and he used it in all of their films. You see them, you hear it in Laurel and Hardy and The Little Rascals, yes.
I remember a year ago, Robert, Jerry Seinfeld said that you are the Beatles of comedy. When you hear accolades like that, what does that do to you?
You're saying about the Beatles thing?
Yeah. He called you the Beatles of comedy.
Yeah, that was wonderful. You know, Jerry has said that publicly many times. You know, those guys, Bill Maher and Jon Stewart, Leno, they were all in high school or college. Like Leno says in that movie, in the documentary about me, which is, by the way, called Robert Klein Still Can't Stop His Leg. It's on the Stars Network, I guess, for another 5 months window, but... you know, they heard the second album, which was Mind Over Matter, which I did stuff about Watergate. And these guys were all sort of interested in the political aspect a little bit, too. And so that sort of sparked them, so they say. But anyway, it's very flattering to hear all these terrific comedians saying those lovely things about me.
Are you a little weirded out about Jay Leno having your picture on his ceiling? Because that's kind of weird.
His last show, and Billy Crystal was sitting there. He said, "You had this disgusting apartment in Boston, and you had, you know, an outdoor deck chair or something, and only one thing on the wall, a poster of Robert Klein from Child of the 50s, which was my first album." Very funny. Believe me, they were. See, Leno had the best remark, I think, in the movie. When he said, you know, when you're a kid in rural Massachusetts, you're interested in comedy, your mother's friends try to say, is he still interested in that? Like, you know, you hope he gives it up. And he said, you could point to Robert Klein. He was normal. He went to college, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
I thought that was very sweet because comedian wasn't a profession, really, when I started. Of course it was a profession, but, you know, the guys with cufflinks and tuxedos.
Sure.
And many of them were funny, and certainly I was preceded by some comedians who said things. Certainly Lenny Bruce and Jonathan Winters were my absolute models. Jonathan was a one-man show, a brilliant improviser. I spoke at his memorial. He was also a wonderful man and totally apolitical. Lenny Bruce, of course, pushed the envelope. And it was his own one-man show. And I think that it became something worth doing and more important in my eyes, you know, than just a guy telling girlfriend jokes with cufflinks. That's what I think.
Robert, a couple of years ago, David Letterman announced that he was leaving The Late Show. And for the last year, he had kind of a farewell tour of comics, his favorites, guys that were popular in the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s. And they'd all come on. And I got to be honest with you. A lot of times they lost a step or two. They weren't as magical as they used to be. You come on and you tore the place to shreds. What were you doing differently that the other guys weren't doing?
You know what? I never stopped working. I did a show Saturday night at the Paramount Theater in Peekskill, New York, which is not far from where I live. I'm looking at, are you in that beautiful studio with the glass wall looking out on Michigan Avenue?
Unfortunately, the Tribune Tower was sold, so we are over on Wacker Drive on the 18th floor.
Oh.
Beautiful, but not the same. Lost some of the tradition.
No. You know what? Working and never losing. I obviously am not, you know, I had my day. A lot of young people who see me on Will and Grace don't, you know, or one of the movies, some of them don't even know I do stand-up. But I never stop working, and I think it keeps show business has a kind of youthful effect. You know, I mean,
sure.
Keeps me busy. I do the Will and Grace. By the way, it's on November 1st, the first episode that I'm in this year. A very interesting one, too, with a kind of serious theme in the insanity, the half hour. You know, I've been at 53 years since Fred Willard and I, the great Fred Willard.
Yeah,
yep.
Just lost his wife, Mary, after so many years. And I reported for work on Well Street to Second City in March of 1965. That's 53 years ago.
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
Wow.
I saw David Steinberg. I did his Sirius radio show. He was the star of the place when I got there. You know, it's been a wonderful ride, and I don't see any point in stopping. I don't have the kind of schedule I used to have, but I still like it. I work with a trainer. Getting old sucks. I mean, you know, the discount at the movies is hardly worth it.
Can I ask you a question about your
sex? I refuse to admit. You know, the other day on my way to Los Angeles, I said, is it true if you're over 75, you don't have to take off your shoes? He said, yes, sir. I said, well, okay, I admit it. I'm over, you know, it's worth it.
For that, yeah.
Robert, can I ask you a question about...
There is a certain kind of, you know, a satisfaction. And really, Second City, Chicago, boy, that was it for me. That was more valuable than the Yale Drama School or anything else. It was absolutely the greatest and has become a worldwide enterprise.
And because you weren't learning it, you were doing it.
Yes. I mean, improvising and doing set pieces, which is acting, memorizing lines and doing it. And the atmosphere at that time in Chicago, you know, I was, 23, I guess, you know.
Wow.
It was so exciting. First of all, I had been there once. I did a performance for one of my Yale professors. We did a medieval, seriously, a 10th century religious musical drama at the at chapel at the University of Chicago, you know, with great hits like Dominus Confite. Remember that one from 1312?
Love that one.
Yeah.
Love that one.
I'd never been really except, you know, I explored for 2 days in Chicago when I was a kid, my first time, I think, west of New Jersey. And I really loved my year in Chicago. It was a tremendous growth year. I mean, beautiful girls and smart people.
Sure.
And Second City was like just all of Well Street, actually. You know, James Cotton, I'd see great musicians, you know, Barbara's Bookstore, you know, it was a kind of a miniature Greenwich Village.
Yeah, yeah.
To me, that's the way it felt. You know?
Robert, was there a rivalry? You mentioned David Steinberg, and I've read accounts that even though you guys were on stage together, there was something of a rivalry. Did you see it that way?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. We talked about it the other day on the radio. When I got there, he was already there. And, you know, I was talented, but rough. I mean, I didn't know the ropes of Second City and all that. And he was like a drill sergeant, not in commands, but just wiping the floor with me on the stage. I learned a lot from that. And then he went to London to do Second City at the West End there. And I and Fred Willard, who never had a problem to begin with, I really began to grow. So when David came back, I felt, you know, more on equal footing. We're fine. He is about as good as I ever saw on that stage. He, you know, he was you know, amazing command.
Yeah.
Little guy there would stand there and with the gesture of his head.
Yeah,
there's certain things I told him that I really learned from him, but that is long gone. I remember him shooting baskets at Warner Brothers. I was on a break from something. I think, remember that show he used to do, Sisters?
Sure.
Yeah, and there he was shooting baskets. He was a pretty good basketball player for a guy that short. Like Ralph Lauren. I remember him playing on the neighborhood. You know, his name is Ralph Lipschitz.
Oh, really? I did know that.
Know that?
Yeah. You know what
you
else?
You wear a Lipschitz. I mean, Jacques Lipschitz was a great sculptor, and he kept his name. But anyway, yeah. Ralph Lauren, too, was 5'5 or so, and he was a terrific basketball player.
How about that?
Feinberg and I were talking while we were shooting baskets, and, you know, we hugged, and it's so years behind. But it was a tense rivalry for a while, but, you know, it didn't infect the work. It happens sometimes with creative people.
Sure.
And also egos involved, competition, you know. When I was sitting there, nominated for a Tony Award for their playing our song, and the screen is split with the four of us in our tuxedos with that fake smile, like you hope the other guy wins smile, you know?
Sure, right.
Sure.
You don't deserve it. You know, I hope the other guy dropped dead on the way to the podium, and they have a second placer. There is a certain amount of that. On the other hand, I looked at him, and I just had dinner with Fred out in Los Angeles. We've all grown old together. It went by pretty quickly, 53 years. All of us made it.
Yep. And deservedly so.
We were talented, and we knew it, and in our own way, and we all made money and I got fame.
And changed comedy. You guys literally changed the game of comedy.
Well, I don't know about that. All I know is that we all did what we wanted to do and loved it. And I shouldn't even put it in the past tense.
Right.
You know, we love it.
You're all still working.
David did a lot of directing. Fred was in, you know, those Christopher Guest movies. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Best in Show, he improvised all of those things. All he did, they showed him a picture of a dog, and he went to town. So, and I am a comedy legend.
Yes, you are, sir. Yes, you are. Robert, at some point, at some point, please, if you're in Chicago, stop by. I need to meet you in person. You have made me laugh 1,000 times, and you're just so good at what you do.
Thank you so much.
And then I'll get a chance to talk to you if you're in town, because
yes.
Bill kind of hogged this one.
I did. I took most of it, Robert. I couldn't help myself.
All right. Well, the thing is, you know, I used to do a Fahey Flynn impression.
Now, you did?
Are you young enough? You
know, yeah,
we know the
Fahey.
Bow tie.
Well, yeah.
No, my favorite was Len
O'Connor.
Hardly moved his mouth.
Len O'Connor?
Len O'Connor. He never smiled. And Len O'Connor. And ho-ho-ho, everybody! The guy that did the Cubs game.
Jack Brickhouse.
Jack Brickhouse.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey.
A real Chicagoan doesn't say Chicago. A real Chicagoan says Chicago.
All right. That's all
I'll say.
Well, we love you, and you got to see Robert Klein. Still Can't Stop His Leg. It, I believe, premiered in March. It's on Stars, but hurry, because it's not going to be there forever, and we'll look for you on Will and Grace on the 1st.
Okay, thanks so much.
We love you, Robert. Love you. Keep up the great work.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Take care. Robert Klein.
All right, we have got to catch up. Coming up, the stories that matter with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It's all happening, WGN Radio.